A mob of masked men dressed in white, armed with rods and clenched fists, shout the name of Allah as they target nightclubs, bars, and brothels in Jakarta, part of a powerful and growing vigilante group in Indonesia known as the Islamic Defenders Front. Indonesia is the world's most populous Muslim-majority nation, praised by many in the West, including President Obama, for a more tolerant incarnation of Islam, a reputation challenged by a group that's expanded from a neighborhood watch to go on to attack other religious groups. Patrick Wynn is a correspondent for the international news site GlobalPost.com. He wrote about the Islamic Defenders Front in this week's edition and joins us now on the phone from Bangkok. Nice to have you with us today.
Nice to be here.
As you describe it, this group arose in response to changes that followed the end of the Suharto dictatorship 12 years ago.
That's right, yes.
What were those changes?
After General Suharto fell, he was a strong man that controlled the country for about three decades. Indonesia was very topsy-turvy, and there was a bit of a power vacuum. And, I certainly wasn't there at the time, but most everyone agrees that especially in the slums, prostitution, gambling, drinking became a lot more open. This group rose out of that atmosphere, and they did what they would say the police would not do, and they cracked down on these elements, these elements of vice in society.
Well, Suharto's regime, of course, cracked down on communism and licentiousness as well, but also on radical Islam.
That's right. Organized radical Islam was considered a threat to Suharto's regime. If you can organize a religious group that, 85 to 90% of Indonesians consider themselves Muslim. So if you can organize them, then, you can provide a threat to his strongman regime.
And, of course, the strongman, as we mentioned, long gone, 12 years now, democracy is in power in Indonesia. How powerful, though, is this group? You cite many millions strong.
Well, they will claim they have 15 million supporters, and that's certainly debatable. The local press in Jakarta pegs them at much lower, maybe in the hundreds of thousands. How powerful are they? Well, they certainly have a lot of influence. They're very well connected with the military and police, and they have the power of intimidation on their side. So if you're rallying, if you're having, say, a gay rights rally, say you're gathering as Christians, you're gathering to promote religious pluralism in a way that they would see as a little bit too tolerant, and these guys show up, you're likely to turn around and start running. So they have a pretty powerful effect on the decisions that, other minority groups make. And so in that way, I think they are quite powerful.
And the scene that you describe of them descending all of a sudden on these, not just nightclubs and brothels, but indeed religious gatherings and a film festival.
Yeah, they have a reputation for beating people with sticks, but more often than not, they don't even have to beat anyone up. People leave, or they hear, "Oh, the Islamic Defenders Front is coming," and they don't gather in the first place.
So you've spoken with some of the leaders of this organization, and they describe themselves as issuing warnings to all these people, one, two, three times warnings. But after that, they say they have no choice but to take action.
Right. So they do warn people. And in their opinion, they think they're leading people into the light. The most pious among them, the most sincere, actually believe that they're doing these people a favor by leading them into a more pious path. So I do actually legitimately think that they do warn people before they attack. They're not necessarily that bloodthirsty, but if you stand in their way and you refuse, then you get the screaming mob.
And what do the police do? This is vigilante justice. This is outside the law.
That's right. The police have had a really light touch with them. I should mention that there was a particularly nasty incident a few years ago that got their leader and one of their most well-known enforcers in jail for 18-month sentences. So the police have at times cracked down on these guys. However, generally, the police will kind of shrug and, you know, what can we do? The Islamic Defenders Front will always say they're not extrajudicial. They're just enforcing the law in a way that the police can't or won't do.
And the police stand by and watch them as they do this?
Absolutely, yeah. Along with my story, I included a video that I shot and some footage from this year in which, you know, very angry mob is attacking a Christian group praying in an open field. Yeah, the police are there, and they, you know, they try and prevent a conflict, but they don't try all that hard. And if you look at the public statements by police at these rallies, they're usually quite sympathetic with the front.
Let me go into this situation that you described a little more deeply. This is a Christian organization, a church, holding services on an open field because they've been denied permission to construct a building, and one of the preachers is stabbed.
That's right. The church says that they, you know, tried to color within the lines. They tried to construct a proper chapel, but the law in Indonesia, you know, despite you know, the state philosophy of religious pluralism, the law makes it pretty difficult to build a church in a Muslim majority neighborhood. Well, most neighborhoods in Indonesia are Muslim majority, and oftentimes requires the signatures and the blessing of local people. If you can't get that, you can't build a church. And so this Christian group, they're Protestant actually, decided to gather in an open field owned by one of the parishioners and pray, and that attracted the attention of the Islamic Defenders Front. And yes, after, you know, they did give them ample warning that they weren't going to tolerate this. They showed up, screaming crowds, outnumbering the parishioners by far. And then it came to a head, spun out of control. Pastor was nearly stabbed to death, and another pastor, female pastor, was bludgeoned with a plank. Now, both of them are doing okay now, but that didn't look good at the time.
Is this a phenomenon that is isolated to Jakarta and big cities, or is this a nationwide thing?
It's not isolated to Jakarta. It's strongest in the island of Java. It's good to remember that, you know, Indonesia has so many different islands, and, you know, you can feel really far from Jakarta if you're on one of the islands. Everything from Bali, which is, you know, well known for being sort of a paradisical place, to Aceh, which is actually governed in part by Sharia law. So, you know, these places feel pretty far removed from the front's actions, but on the island of Java, they are definitely a presence throughout the island.
And you also describe a country where, yes, there are religious bans on smoking, but about a third of the people do, and where a lot of places, not just Bali, alcohol is sold openly.
Yeah, certainly Americans that have this very this idea of Islam that conjures up images of like hardline Middle Eastern style Islam would be surprised perhaps to see Jakarta, where the call of prayer goes out over people sitting outside on stools drinking beer. It's shocking how many people smoke in Jakarta. It seems like almost all of the guys have a cigarette in their mouth. This is the style of Islam that's embraced by most of Indonesia, and it's tolerant Islam, and it's praised by the West as a role model. But I guess in the front size, it's just a bit too tolerant, and there's the rub.
And there's the rub. And one of the areas that you go into is to talk to legislators and other observers who say, wait a minute, this is not good for the country's image. This is taking us down the wrong path.
You know, just as someone in white robes screaming Allahu Akbar, this is sort of a battle cry adopted by a fundamentalist, but it's also a phrase that means God is great and can be quite have a peaceful intent. Just as this type of imagery, headscarf, seems might seem unusual in the American Midwest, it seems unusual to a lot of people in Jakarta as well. And so, yeah, you have people saying, well, this is not the Islam that we're used to. This is not the Islam that we're comfortable with. This seems more Arabic, more Middle Eastern, and it can be regarded as intimidating.
And what's the future of this movement, do you think?
Well, the sentiment that they've tapped into, this frustration with the way the country is moving, I think is very much there. And I think a lot of that will remain as long as Indonesia remains a place that's growing very rapidly, but also has a very large low-income population. The group itself, it will be interesting to see what happens to them. They appear to have some leadership issues. Like we said before, they were founded about 12 years ago, and so their core leader appears to be ill and is having trouble holding on to control of the movement. And so it could be that they sort of splinter off and the Islamic Defenders Front becomes a brand more than, you know, something that's centrally controlled from a headquarters.
Global Post correspondent Patrick Wynn, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Neil.
The story Vigilante Jihad is published in this week's edition. He joined us on the line from Bangkok. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.